الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, last week we were speaking about the Day of Judgment. For the number of weeks we've been speaking about the Day of Judgment. And we reached the part where we said that on the Day of Judgment, everyone will be questioned. And amongst the things a person will be questioned, one are regarding which are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that on that day you will certainly be questioned about the blessings, the bounties which you enjoyed. And amongst those, the basic bounties which will be, the minute bounties which we will be questioned about is health, and also drink cold water which we get to drink on a hot day. Another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says regarding questioning, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن خمس, that on the Day of Judgment, the feet of son of Adam will not move from the place of reckoning until he is asked five questions, and he answers this question. The first question is, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهُ, how did he spend his life? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَاهُ, second question, how he spent his youth. So a specific question regarding how a person spent their youth. Number three, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِي مَا أَنْفَقَهُ, fourth question. Third and fourth question, how a person, from where did he acquire his wealth? How did he earn his livelihood? And the fourth question, where did he spend it? Because we'll find people today who will earn their, some will earn their wealth in a haram way, spend it in haram. Some will earn it in halal, but spend it in haram. But the question is, how did you spend your, where did you earn your wealth? How did you earn your wealth? And how you spent it? And the fifth question, مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمَ, the knowledge you had, to what extent did you put it into practice? So the question will not be how much knowledge you had. The question will be how much did you act, to what degree did you put into practice what you knew. So the question will be about a'mal, about actions. So a person will not be able to move from the place of reckoning until he answers these five questions regarding his life, his youth, where he earned his, how he earned his wealth, where he spent it, and to what extent did he practice the knowledge he acquired. Now on that day, even the prophets would be asked by Allah Ta'ala if regarding their mission, if they had passed on their mission, their message to their nations, and did they complete their mission to the best of their ability. And the people that they were sent to, the nations to whom the prophets were sent to, they will be asked. And some will accept and say, yes, these prophets passed on the message, and some will deny. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about the people of Nuh alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. He says that the Nuh alayhi salam and his nation will come on the Day of Judgment, and Allah will ask Nuh alayhi salam, "Hal ballaghta?" O Nuh, did you convey the message? Nuh alayhi salam will reply, "Na'am, ya Rabb." O Allah, I conveyed the message, my Rabb. Yes, I did. Allah Ta'ala will then ask his nation, هَلْ بَلَّغَكُمْ, did Nuh alayhi salam convey my message to you? They, the nation of Nuh alayhi salam, will reply, مَا جَاءَنَا مِن نَذِير, that no prophet came to us, no warner came to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask Nuh alayhi salam, مَنْ شُهُودُكْ, who will stand a witness for you? Who will witness to the fact that you convey your message to your people? So Nuh alayhi salam will reply, مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ أُمَّتُهُ, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah, his followers, us, we will bear witness, stand witness in favor of Nuh alayhi salam that he conveyed the message. فَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغْ, and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will convey that, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bear witness to the fact that Nuh alayhi salam conveyed his message. Now, how did we know? We knew through the true book of Allah, which was revealed to his true prophet in detail in various parts of the Quran, especially in Surah An-Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salam. And thereafter, after quoting this narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. That thus we made you a balanced nation, a moderate nation, so you may bear witness for the people, and the Prophet will be a witness for you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran further, وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ, that every soul shall be granted full recompense for what he did. Every deed that a person did, be it good or bad, he will be given compensation for it. And further, a person will be dealt with according to his intentions. So the intentions are very important. Niyyah is very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the first of the men whose case will be decided on the Day of Judgment will be a man who died as a martyr, shaheed, a person who gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shall be brought forth before the judgment, before Allah ta'ala for judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, Allah ta'ala will make him recount his blessings, meaning the blessings which Allah ta'ala has bestowed upon this man, Allah will make the man recount it. And he will recount them, and he will admit enjoying the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, what did you do? What did you do to repay for these blessings? So he will say, قَاتَلْتُ فِيكَ حَتَّى أُسْتُشِدْتُ, that, oh Allah, I fought in your path, I fought for your sake until I was martyred. I gave the ultimate sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to this person, كَذَبْتَ, you have lied, you have told a lie. وَلَكِنَّكَ قَاتَلْتَ لِأَنَّ يُقَالَ جَرِيءٌ, you fought with bravery, with valor, with heroism, so you may be called a brave warrior. You done it for the praise of people. فَقَدْ قِيلٌ, you done it, you done it for the praise of people. People have sung your praises. You have got your reward. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this person will then, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the command, and this person will be dragged face down and cast into the hellfire. Then the next person will be brought forward. It's a man who acquired knowledge. رَجُلٌ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلَّمَهُ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ, a person who acquired the knowledge of deen and he taught people, and a person who would recite the Qur'an. So he was an alim, a sheikh, a maulana, and a qari, a beautiful reciter of Qur'an. He will be brought forth, and Allah Ta'ala will make him recount his blessings. And Allah will remind him that of the blessings which Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon him. And he will recount them, and he will acknowledge that, oh Allah, you gave me all of these blessings. You gave me knowledge, you gave me beautiful voice, you gave me the ilm of deen. And Allah Ta'ala will ask him, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, what did you do with this? What did you do to repay these favors? So he will say, I sought knowledge, and I taught knowledge, and I recited the Quran only for your pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, كَذَبْتَ, you have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمِ لِيُقَالَ أَنَّكَ عَالِمٌ وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُقَالَ إِنَّكَ قَارِئٌ, that you sought the knowledge of deen, you acquired the knowledge of deen, and you taught it, so people call you an alim, a sheikh, a maulana. And you recited Quran, so people call you qari. This person has beautiful recitation of Quran. So you've done it for the praises of people. The praises have been sung, the reward has been given. The reason you've done it has been fulfilled. And this person will be dragged by his face on the ground and thrown into the hellfire. Then the third person, now this is not individual people, this could be groups of people of the same category. The third person that will be brought forward will be a person, رَجُلٌ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَعْطَاهُ مِنْ أَصْنَافِ الْمَالِ كُلِّهِ. This will be a person whom Allah Ta'ala had made abundantly rich and given him a lot of different kind of wealth. He will be brought forth, and Allah Ta'ala will ask him, فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, what did you do First, he will be made to recount the favors, and he will acknowledge the favors. And Allah will then ask him, what did you do to repay me for these blessings which I bestowed upon you? So he will say, مَا تَرَقْتُ مِن سَبِيلٍ تُحِبُّ أَن يُنْفَقَ فِيهَا إِلَّا أَنْفَقْتُ فِيهَا لَكَ. That, O Allah, I spend money in every cause in which you wish that it should be spent. Meaning, there's no avenue of good in which I did not spend. And I done this, O Allah, for your sake. Allah Ta'ala again will reply, كَذَبْتْ, you have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ فَعَلْتْ لِيُقَالْ هُوَ جَوَادْ فَقَدْ قِيلْ. That, oh, you did this, so people call you a generous man. And it has been said, people have, you done it for the praises of people, the praises have been sung, your reward has been given to you. So nothing for you here. And this person will be dragged by the face and thrown into the hellfire. May Allah Ta'ala protect one and all. So what we learn from this, my brothers and sisters, is that these are three great a'mal, three great virtuous acts. One is presenting one's own life for the deen of Allah. That is number two, is seeking the knowledge and teaching. There's great virtues for this. Reciting Quran and teaching to others, great virtues mentioned in the ahadith for this. And number three is generosity in the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah. Again, there's great virtue, great rewards and virtues for this mentioned in the Quran and ahadith. But we learn that even these great actions, if they are performed with the wrong intention, it is done for ulterior motives, for others other than Allah. These actions are performed with the wrong intentions. They will not be accepted in the sight of Allah. Instead, a person will have to suffer punishment. So it's very important, it's crucial that we are always checking our intentions and purifying our intentions, that whatever action we do, be it big or small, we do it only for the pleasure of Allah, then only will that action be accepted. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Now the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the day of judgment, Allah will assemble everyone. Then an announced someone will announce that whoever carried out an action to please or to show anyone else other than Allah, he should collect his reward from that person. And it's obvious, no one apart from Allah can reward a person on the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his quality is al-ghani. He is self-sufficient, he is in need of no one. He is not in need of anyone. So it's important that every action we do, Allah is pure and he only accepts pure. So every action we do must be purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah. Even if it's 1% for someone else, we do an action which is 99% for Allah, 1% for show, for praises of people, whatever it may be, this whole action will be rejected. Now an example is given, if a person has a glass of water, a glass of milk, and only one drop of urine, one drop of blood, one drop of impurity is put inside, no one will turn around and say that, oh, it's only 1% impure, the rest is pure, so I'm going to drink it. The whole thing is regarded as contaminated, and no one will knowingly drink that glass of water or milk, because that one drop has contaminated the whole thing. In the same way, one slip of intention, a slight alteration in intention, that can ruin the whole action. So it's very important that every action we do, big or small, it should be only for the pleasure of Allah, then only will we receive the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, there's great rewards, immense rewards for actions performed with ikhlas, with sincerity, even if they are very small. Now another narration that we're talking about, still talking about some of the questions that are going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ صَلَاتُ. That amongst the actions, amongst a person's deeds, the first we reckoned, the first a person we question about is his salah. Out of all of a'mal, Allah will ask a person first about his salah. فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. If a person's salah comes out correct, as it's supposed to be, a person's prayed his salah on time, correctly, with concentration, devotion for the pleasure of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Faqad aflaha wa anjah." This person has indeed succeeded. He has indeed passed. Wa in fasadat. But if a person's salah comes out corrupt, person didn't bother praying it, didn't bother praying it properly, the intention is not correct, the actions are not correct. Faqad khaba wa khasir. This person is in loss. He is in destruction. So this is second group, second person. If a person did not pray their salah properly. فَإِنْ انْتَقَصَ مِنْ فَرِيضَتِهِ شَيْءٍ. If a person prayed their salah, but he prayed on time, to the best of his ability, but there was some deficiency left. It was prayed, all of them were prayed on time properly, but there was a little bit of deficiency in the quality. قَالَ الرَّبُّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah ta'ala will say to the angels, أُنْظُرُ هَلْ لِعَبْدِي مِنْ تَطَوُّعٍ. Oh my angels, see, does my servant have any optional actions, optional prayers? So the faraid we have to do. Optional actions, what we call sunnah, what we call nafal, these are optional. So when there's deficiency left in the faraid, Allah will ask the angels, does this servant of mine have any nawafil, have any optional prayers? فَيُكَمَّلُ بِهَا مَنْ تَقَصَ مِنَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. The deficiency in the farad salah will be made up through the nafal salah, the optional prayers. So what we learn from this is extremely important that the faraid we have to do, there's no compromise in that. Praying the 5 times salah every day on time to the best of our ability. Paying of the zakah, which is compulsory. Keeping the fast in Ramadan. Performing the hajj if it's compulsory on us. The faraid we have to do. But along with this, we should have optional acts of the same category. Optional salah, optional charity, what we call sadaqah. Optional fasts, additional fasts. These we should keep a stock, because if there's deficiency in the fara'id, these nawafil, these optional actions will be brought forth, and it will make up for the deficiency in the farad. And if this happens, the deficiency is made up through the nawafil. We have enough nawafil of high quality, this will make up for the deficiency in the nawafil, and the person will still pass and still get to go Jannah. So it's important that we have this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ثُمَّ يَكُنُ سَارُ عَمَنِهِ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. The rest of the actions will be reckoned in the same way. So after salah will come the fasts and the charity, etc., etc. After looking at the compulsory acts, the nawafil will be brought forth and the deficiency made up if necessary. Now in another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that on the day of judgment, there will be certain people that will be privileged with entering into Jannah without reckoning, without being asked any questions. Now there are various ahadith mentioning the types of people. A few examples. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one narration that an announcement will be made on the Day of Judgment. أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ كَانَتْ تَتَجَافَ جُنُوهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. That an announcement announced, stand up. Where are those people who used to stay away from their beds at night? Meaning they would engage in optional prayers at night. A group of them will stand up, they'll be small in number, and they will enter Jannah without reckoning. Another announcement we made, الَّذِينَ أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Where are those people whom trade and merchandise, business, work, did not distance them from the remembrance of Allah? So they had businesses, they would work, but the work, and in other words, dunya, and engagements of dunya did not distance them, did not beguile them, did not become a barrier for them in getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, a small group of people will stand and they will go into Jannah without paradise. Another narration says, announcement we made, أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ يَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Where are those, stand up, where are those who praise Allah ta'ala in adversity and in prosperity, who praise Allah in good times and in bad times? A group will stand, they'll be small in number, they too will enter paradise without reckoning. Another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَن يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي 70,000 لَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my Lord has promised me that he will enter into Jannah 70,000 of my ummah, 70,000 of my ummah into Jannah without any reckoning, without asking them any questions, without punishment. The narration further continues, مَعَ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ سَبِعُونَ أَلْفًا. And with every thousand of those 70,000, another 70,000 enter. Another narration says, with every one of those 70,000, another 70,000 enter Jannah without being asked any questions. And the narration says, وَثَلَاثُ حَثَيَاتٍ مِّنْ حَثَيَاتِ رَبِّي. And three handfuls of the handfuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now only Allah knows how great and how big the handfuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. So from this, from these narration, we learn that there will be many people will enter Jannah without reckoning. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst them. Ameen. Now regarding reckoning account being taken, Aisha radiallahu anha says that once I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying in one of his du'as, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, grant me an easy account, easy reckoning. May my questioning be easy. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, I asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does taking an easy account mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the book of deeds of a persons are just, he explained that a book of deeds are just presented to Allah. They're just presented. In our days, we could say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that book and flick through it, just have a quick flick, and then give it to the person. This is an easy reckoning, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not scrutinize the book of deeds. And the narration says, if a person's book of deeds come under scrutiny, he will be destroyed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person to task, Allah ta'ala scrutinizes a person's book of deeds, the person will not be able to succeed, he will not pass, he will go hellfire. May Allah protect one and all. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. That a person who is given their book of deeds in the right hand, they will be given حِسَاب and يَسِيرًا. They're given an easy account. Now on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk. On the day of judgment, Allah will talk directly to every servant of His. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. That on that day there will be none amongst you but his Lord will talk to him, and there will be no interpreter between him and Allah. The narration then continues, that a person will look to his right and see nothing but his deeds, which he will have sent forward. He will look to his left and he will see nothing but his deeds which he has sent forward. So the right, he will see his good deeds. Left, he will see his bad deeds. And he will look in front and he will see nothing but the hellfire facing him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now imagine this sight, good deeds to the right, bad deeds to the left, the fire of hell in front, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly talking to a person. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمَرَةٍ. Save yourself from the fire of hell even by giving half a date or part of a date in charity. Because on that day we will understand the value of this small amount of charity. Another narration says that, you know, fear, save yourself from the fire of hell even with a good word. Even a good word. Al-kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqah. There's a narration that even a good word, this is charity. So we should be in the habit, make ourselves amongst those people that's always saying good, spreading good, you know, controlling our tongue and using our tongue only for good. Ameen. Now on that day, no one will be oppressed in the least. Allah Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That on this day no soul shall be wronged in the least, and you will only be repaid for what you did. A person will be given exact, will be recompensed, will be given, will be repaid for what they did. And as Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Zilzal, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of good, he will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And a person who does an atom weight of evil, he will see it. So nothing will be hidden on that day from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now on that day, all outstanding rights will have to be repaid. Now and you have two types of rights. One are حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, which are the rights of Allah, which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the salah, the fast, the zakah, saum, hajj, etc. And then the second types of the rights are حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ, the rights of servants. For example, the rights of parents, the rights of teachers, the rights of wives, the rights of children, the rights of neighbors, etc., etc. The rights of employee, employer, and the various other rights. These which we owe to fellow servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, even though appearing on the Day of Judgment, having a, if a person enters, if a person appears on the Day of Judgment, having the outstanding rights upon Allah, of rights of Allah upon us. Okay, if we appear on the Day of Judgment in a state that we owe the rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be great, it will be a grave matter. Indeed, it will be a grave matter. But it will not be as great and as dangerous and as worrisome as having outstanding rights of servants. Because on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. If He wishes, He can forgive who He wants. But on that day, every servant will be of Allah, will be desirous, and he'll be in dire need of good deeds. So, if we have outstanding rights which we owe to fellow servants of Allah, they will want to take it, and they will want to take it in full. Because a person won't, they won't know, but they, if they have attained salvation until after the deeds have been weighed. And they will, every person will think that every single deed, I'm in need of it. And everyone, every other deed I can get from someone else, I want to take it. Because this may be the one that may tip my scale of good deeds and grant me entry into paradise. And these rights, they will be repaid. Rights which have not been given in this world will have to be given on the Day of Judgment. And they will not be repaid in the form of wealth, money. They will be repaid in the form of deeds, actions. Virtuous deeds with virtuous actions. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kanat lahu madhlimatun li akhi min 'irdihi aw shay'in falyatahallalhu minhu al-yawm qabla an la yakuna diran wala dirham." That whoever has oppressed another person concerning his reputation or anything else. So if a person has done wrong to anyone else, be it verbally, be it physically, be it any other way, financially, let him seek forgiveness from the oppressed before the Day of Judgment. Meaning, try making up to the person in this world before the Day of Judgment. The day in which there will be no dinar, no dirham, no money. The currency down there will be good deeds. إِن كَانَ لَهُ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ أُخِذَ مِنْهُ بِقَدْرِ مَظْلِمَتِهِ. If a person has good deeds, those good deeds will be taken from him according in proportion to his oppression which he has done, in proportion to the wrong which he done to the oppressed. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ حَسَنَاتٌ أُخِذَ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ صَاحِبِهِ فُحْمِي عَلَيْهِ. If a person who owes, he doesn't have good deeds, or he doesn't have enough good deeds, then the oppressed person's sins will be taken and put on the oppressor, on the person that did the wrong, in proportion to the wrong which he done. So, if a person has good deeds, he'll have to give them away to the person that he done wrong to. If he doesn't have good deeds, the oppressed, the person that he has wrong, that person's wrong, their sins will be taken and put onto this person. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba a question. He asked them, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ, that, O my Sahaba, do you know who a muflis is? Who a bankrupt person is? Who a pauper is? Now, usually, you can understand from this, usually the Sahaba, when they were asked a question, they would usually say, Allah wa Rasulu alam, that, oh, Allah and His Rasul know best. But this was such a question, they felt it was so easy that they attempt to answer it. They said, they replied, Al-muflisu minna min al-muflisu fina man la dirham wa la mata'. According to us, the definition of a bankrupt person, a poor person, a pauper, is he who has no dirham. He doesn't have any wealth, he doesn't have any possessions. That is who we call a poor person, a bankrupt person. So then Rasulullah, he defined who a bankrupt person is, a poor person is, according to him. He says, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A muflis, a bankrupt person, a poor person from my ummah is that person who comes on the Day of Judgment. بِالصَّلَاةٍ وَالصِّيَامٍ وَالزَّكَاةٍ. He has with him, you could say, mountains of salah, mountains worth of fasting, mountain worth of zakah. Meaning he's done a lot of good deeds, a huge amount of good deeds. But on the other hand, وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا. On the other hand, he has verbally abused someone. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. He has slandered someone, made accusations. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He has usurped someone's wealth, financially abused someone. وَصَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. He had shed someone's blood. In other words, physically hurt someone. So physically, financially, emotionally, in any way hurt someone. So these people, he's done this. On one side, he's got a lot of good deeds. But on the other side, he has done this. فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ. So people will come. So this person has done a lot of good deeds, but people will come and they will say, oh Allah, this person done this to me. So a person's good deeds, this person's good deeds will be taken and given to the complainant, the oppressed, in proportion to the wrong done to him. The next person will come and say, oh Allah, this person did this to me. He'll be good. The good deeds will be taken this person and given to the oppressed in proportion to the wrong done to him. So like these people continue coming, taking his good deeds, taking good deeds, taking good deeds. فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْضَى مَا عَلَيْهِ أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَيَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. And if all his good deeds are finished, and people are still standing in line waiting to complain against him, take their rights from him. So what will happen is they will come and then they will offload their sins onto him in proportion to the wrong that he committed against them. People will come, offload their sins onto him until this person, fine, when everyone is finished complaining against him and they've taken their rights from him, this person who came with mountain loads of good deeds, mountain loads of salah, fast and zakah, he'll be taken and he'll be thrown into hellfire. This will be the justice will be given on the day of judgment. Now this person, he fulfilled the rights of Allah. He fulfilled the rights of Allah, the salah, the fast and zakah, but he violated the rights of the servants of Allah, so they will take their rights on the day of judgment. So it's very important we learn from this hadith that we try to settle our affairs in this world, be it verbal issues, be it physical issues, be it financial issues, this issue of inheritance, issues of something which we owe someone, we borrowed some money, and we owe it back. Whatever it is, let us all try to settle our issues in this world before we leave this world. And because we don't know when we are going to leave this world, it's always important that we always try to keep our matters clear, and if we need be, we forgive. Because otherwise these issues are going to come back to haunt us on the Day of Judgment. Now inshallah we'll continue talking about the justice which will be met on the Day of Judgment next week inshallah. Inshallah, next we will finish off the remaining events that are going to happen on the Day of Judgment. And if time permits, we will start talking about, we will give some other descriptions of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to prepare for the Day of Judgment adequately before its coming. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.